section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts. All the penis jokes, racial statements, and inappropriate comments should not be associated with our guests and sponsors. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and if you're easily offended, we suggest you stop listening now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm ever. And who doesn't like a good auditory orgasm?
I am about to tell you something that'll change the face of history.
Coming to you live from the dirty stalls of the IBWIP studio and the airwaves of Silent Storm Radio, please welcome Amish BJ, Cold Beer Coley, and the podcasting god,
Amen.
Blake Clayton, in another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
We're not total dicks.
Follow that, bitch.
1, 2, 3, 4... When I turn my radio down, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me. Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee. That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause now it burns when I pee.
Before I die.
Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining.
I'm gonna shoot you down from the high horse. Hey, I'm gonna shoot you down to the ground. I'm gonna shoot you down from the high horse. Yeah, from the high horse to the ground, I'll shoot you down. No, I don't walk no close-footed stagger. These words that I say, I'll sit through. You've been riding way up there far too long now. This ain't no warning, this is what I intend to do. I'm gonna shoot you down from the high horse. Hey, I'm gonna shoot you down to the ground. I'm gonna shoot you down from the high horse. Yeah, from the high horse to the ground, I'll shoot you down.
Fate much worse than simple shove it through.
Hey, I'm gonna shoot you down from the high horse. And I'm gonna shoot you down to the ground. I'm gonna shoot you down from the high horse. Yeah, from the high horse to the ground, I'll shoot you down.
Alright folks, welcome back to the Dirty Stalls of It Burns When I Pee, and we have yet another Canadian musician on the show. It's like a record for us. It's it's JT Wisted Peterson from Liquorbox. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing alright. We just had the Give 'Em Hell Boys on a couple weeks ago, and it just worked out. We get this one lined up, so we're representing Canada for a couple of shows here.
For sure, man. Much appreciated.
Well, let's get started with my first question. That I actually, when we started talking about doing this interview, my first question to you was, you know, there is a new Liquorbox album done, but it hasn't been released. Can you kind of tell us what's going on with that project?
The project kind of, I don't know how much you might have been following it or anybody else has been following things as of late, but since we ended up having to cancel the 7-week tour through the U.S. with JV Beverly. The band kind of went on hiatus at that point, and we had already had the album recorded coming up to that. And with the cancellation of the tour, it just things got kind of crazy there, and the album kind of got put on hold. And JB's been plugging away at it for us. I've been in touch with him, and we've worked on a few songs. Like, there's a couple songs up on YouTube and whatnot right now that aren't completed, but it's not done completely in entirety. And I kind of just gave JB the no rush on it, just because Liquorbox as a full band isn't really playing right now, so there's no point in him stressing over it if we're not out there, you know, touring around or playing shows to promote it. That's the best I can describe it, I guess.
I mean, are you eventually going to, you know, if things don't pan out, are you at least going to release it since you guys put all that work into it?
Oh, for sure. The album is going to get released. It's not a question of it not getting released. And that's the thing. I don't want people to think either that the Liquorbox project is dead. It's definitely not dead. It's more of a matter of we need some people to come on board and help us out musician-wise to get back on the road and whatnot. but it's definitely going to get released, and I'm really excited for it to get released because we do have some pretty cool guest appearances on it and whatnot as well. So it's something that I definitely want to get out there and have people hear.
Sure. And you had mentioned that, you know, JB Beverly has been helping you, you know, producing the album. You know, how was it? How did you guys get involved with him, and what was it like working with him on the album?
It's kind of a funny story. We had toured over as Liquorbox over in Europe. We toured Belgium and Holland, and while we were over there, we were covering JB Beverly's Dark Bar in a Jukebox, the song, and someone had filmed us playing one night and had put a video up on YouTube of us playing Dark Bar in a Jukebox. And I had messaged the person that put the video up and said, you know, look, do you mind taking that down? It's not our song. And let me contact the person who wrote the song just to make sure that they're cool with it and whatnot, you know, having a video up, because we definitely didn't want to take credit for the song. So I just messaged JB out of the blue. We had never had contact prior to that, and this was before I was even using Facebook or anything like that. So this was the MySpace days.
Oh, MySpace days.
So I messaged him on MySpace, and he got back to me right away and was like, you know, cool, man, that's awesome that you guys are doing that. And he appreciated the support and that we were, you know, promoting his stuff as well. And ever since then, JB and I have developed a friendship and talk on a pretty regular basis. And after we played Muddy Roots, and JB and I actually got to meet, you know, personally, he said to me, man, you know, come down to my studio and let's record your new album. And I was like, well, sure, why the hell not? You know, we're going to spend money up here recording an album. Why not, you know, go down and hang out and see, you know, a bit of the U.S. and hang out with him as well and get an album recorded. So that's kind of how that came about.
So what was it like working with him?
It was awesome working with him. He's a really good guy, and I'm sure I don't know if you've ever met JB, but I'm sure some of your listeners have. And he's a very solid guy, one of the best guys in the scene that I have met and spent time with. And getting the job done at the Rebel Root Studio there with not only him but Bucks Railkill, his banjo player, and Bucks' family put us up for the weekend. While we stayed down there, cooked food for us, you know, comfortable place to sleep, and we were really well taken care of. So all around, it was an amazing experience, not just alone with JB, but with the rest of the crew at Rebel Root Studio as well. And I see he's doing a lot more work with other people too, so that's great. I recommend the experience with anybody. It's real hands-on, grassroots sort of studio, and it's just a good time. You know, you feel like family when you're there, and that's you want that kind of comfortable environment when you're working on a project that, you know, you hold very true to yourself.
Definitely. Yeah, we had him on, we've had him on before, and I've met him, and he's been a cool dude to us, and, you know, helping promote the show, and we've been playing his music for a while now. So yeah, it's a good combination, but it was just interesting. I always like to you know, when bands get together with other artists, you know, to kind of work on albums, I just find it interesting because, you know, you're bringing two different kind of styles and stuff together. And do you think that the new Liquorbox album has some JB influence, or do you think he brought something out of you guys maybe that you weren't expecting?
I honestly think that working with JB allowed us to be more of what we were able to do, like allowed us to be exactly what we wanted to be. Then there wasn't so much of an influence from him as there was just we felt really comfortable being around him, and he was all about our music, so we felt like more energized to do what we did. When we recorded our first album, the Devil Came a Knockin' album, it was kind of a rushed process. We had recorded it up here, just outside of where I live here in Kingston, Ontario in Canada. And we recorded it at the, I don't know if you know the band, the Tragically Hip.
No, never heard of them.
Okay, yeah, they're more of like a Canadian band. They're really they have a lot of success up here and whatnot. But we recorded at their studio, and great studio, amazing place to work. I wanted to move into the place because of all the gear and right. the setup and where it was and everything else. But it wasn't a country studio. It wasn't, you know, we weren't working with people that record specifically country music and whatnot. So it was really nice to actually go down to North Carolina and spend some time actually being in a place where we were working with people that understood what we were trying to do. So we were actually able to do exactly what we wanted to do.
Awesome. You know, and you had mentioned that you guys were at Muddy Roots in 2011, and that's where, you know, I saw you guys play live for the first time. I think we had gotten together back and forth a couple, 3 years ago, and you had sent me some music, and we had been playing it. But Muddy Roots was the first time I saw you guys play live. What was the Liquor Box experience at Muddy Roots 2011?
Muddy Roots was really cool for us, man. We were it's kind of crazy how it kind of came together, because we were sort of in the process of JB and myself talking back and forth and trying to get some sort of tour happening with each other. This was prior to us booking that 7-week tour that ended up falling through because of van difficulties and whatnot. But we ended up getting onto Muddy Roots through JB's booker, Tracy, with Roadbound Booking. And she just sent me a message out of nowhere saying, "Hey, do you guys want to do Muddy Roots?" And I was like, "Yeah." Like, right on the spot, I didn't even ask the other guys before I said yes or no. I was just like, "Yeah, we're going to do that. We'll figure it out." And it was nice for us, too, because we kind of made a vacation out of it. We got to see a good part of the U.S. going down, like, just headed straight south from where we are. If you look at a map, it is pretty much straight down south. And then being there, the amount of people that we met, connections that we made, I don't know, I could go on and on and on about it. The actual playing part of it, I don't know if you remember, but we played, what's the 10 a.m. Yep. on Sunday.
First thing in the morning. Yep.
So as you can imagine, you know, we're there hanging out, the Friday and the Saturday, and then that comes around and, you know, we got to haul our asses out of bed haul our asses out of bed to get things done. And we didn't come with a lot of our own gear either, just so that we could get over the border.
Sure.
Without any hassle. And it was funny, we traveled in all separate vehicles just to make it work properly, so we didn't have to get visas or anything like that. And the border guard was actually funny. It's like, you know, you guys don't look like bluegrass folks or whatever. It's like, well, you know, this is what it is.
Right.
And then, yeah, anyway, so we got down there, and we ended up making friends, and it was actually the boys from the Goddamn Gallows that ended up supplying us with our drum set and everything else, and they actually, we were surprised when they agreed to do it at nighttime, and that they were actually up at 8 o'clock in the morning to give us their drum kit and everything else. And then we had borrowed a bass from, who did we borrow the bass from now? I'm trying to remember. Cletus Got Shot,
okay.
Their little gas tank bass that we ended up using. So it was pretty cool that we actually, you know, made friends, and were actually able, people actually were really supportive of us too, and lent us their gear and whatnot while we were down there. So all around great experience. And then getting to know JB, like I said, as well, was great. Yeah, I can't say enough great things about the experience.
And that really
except for the rain, man.
Right, exactly. Oh yeah, I believe me. Yeah, but you know, and that just kind of another good example of, you know, the community that it is.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, they're all, you know, nobody's out there to try to better up anybody. Everybody wants everybody to succeed, and you know, and that's obvious by, you know, basically you guys getting a whole bunch of gear just to be able to play your set.
Exactly, and at 10 o'clock in the morning, too,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're starting to set up at 8. You don't expect anybody to be up at 8 o'clock in the morning, especially musicians. So.
Right. At a festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we had Jim Hellboys on recently, and they're from Canada, and they were kind of discussing some of the difficulties about touring in Canada, you know, with everything being so far from each other and gas. And, you know, has Liquorbox kind of had that same issue since you guys have been together?
Well, it's really tough, especially with the seasons. That's a big thing. Touring in Canada in the winter is not a good idea. As far as I'm concerned, I've been in some pretty close calls with accidents and whatnot, and that's not something I'm too interested in doing. Now, if you look at the way Canada is set up, if you're heading to the west, then yeah, you're looking at a lot of layover time. Things are really far apart. You do a lot of driving. What I like to do and what I've done as many times as I've been able to is to do the East Coast tour, which is where we're based out of. You jump into Quebec and you can play all over Quebec. You could make an entire tour of Quebec. Quebec's a really fun place to play. And then as soon as you're out of Quebec, if you look at, like I said, if you look at a map, you'll see how close the provinces are on the East Coast and how small they are. So you can do a good, like, 10-day tour and be playing every night and not have huge drives in between. It's when you start heading west that the problems start happening. And you were saying, what's the name of the band that you were saying there?
The Give 'Em Hell Boys?
Yeah, and they're from out west, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I imagine it's tough for them to get around and actually tour. For us, we have it pretty easy where we are to make tours happen.
Cool. So let's see. Well, we were talking about, you know, festivals and the tour. You know, you have kind of started a tour called Who the Hell is Billy Hillbilly Music Festival. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah. We've only done it 2 years now. Last year was kind of getting to the point of where we want it to be. The first year that we did it was just at a bar. We did an all-day sort of event, started at noon and went to 2 and the next morning. And then last year we did a three-day outdoor with camping and everything else at a place called Hillbilly Heaven, which is just outside of Napanee, Ontario, which is about 45 minutes from where I live in Kingston, Ontario. And yeah, man, it was the whole thing is pretty cool watching it progress, because, you know, we had bands coming up from the U.S. to come play the Who the Hell is Billy Festival, you know, and we're only 2 years running, but the way that word gets around within the scene, I guess, it gets around pretty quick.
Yeah,
because... It's actually my wife and I that plan this festival, and she kind of looks after the band application process and whatnot. And she was getting emails and applications just constantly every day. It was impossible basically for us to keep up with it, and bands from all over. And I feel bad having to say, no, we don't have room for you, but we actually had to get to that point last year, 'cause we had so many applications and whatnot for it. So hopefully that is a continuing trend too. We'd like to continue. I've already had people contact me for this year's, and I haven't even started thinking about it because of, you know, my situation or our situation right now with the newborn baby and whatnot. You know, we're definitely not thinking about the festival at the moment, but it is going to happen. That's the thing. I definitely want people to not lose faith in the fact that we're going to keep this thing going because of the momentum that we did create just with last year's festival and whatnot.
And what time of the year? What time of the year do you guys usually have it?
It would be kind of around the end of the summer. That's the way we did it last year. And it, like, right sort of before people go back to school and whatnot is where we would like to do it. We had talked about doing it this year around Canada Day. I'm not sure. Just like I said, we haven't put a lot of thought into this year yet. We're trying to find a decent weekend to do it when it's a decent time of year where we're not going to have to deal with rain, because last year we did deal with a pretty huge rainfall and whatnot. So there's a lot that goes into it, and sure. we need to find some time to make that happen, but it's not happening right at the moment.
No doubt. You know, and when you guys get it all squared away, you definitely let us know, and we'll help promote it whenever we can.
No, for sure, man. And that's the thing is, I'll let you know, and I'll let as many people as I can know. And like you were saying before, you guys are thinking about coming up here.
Yeah, I think it would be cool to come up there and, you know, do a show. It would be funny. I don't know if Canada would let us in though.
You don't know if they'd let you in. Why? You guys got some criminal records or something?
No. We had a feud with some people from Newfoundland. And so we had an ongoing little jokingly feud with them, of course. But so we just that's always a little shtick that we have is that they wouldn't let us in.
Newfoundland's great, man. If you do come up here, you should visit Newfoundland.
Awesome. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Cool. So, you know, you just mentioned, you know, the new baby. You've had a lot of changes in your life, like in the past year. You know, you've gotten married and you also have a newborn. You know, how has being a father, you know, changed your life already in such a short period of time?
You know what? People expect things to, I don't know, people expect kind of the worst when it comes to, you know, I've heard so many people say, oh, I expect your life to be completely changed, or even people going as far as your life is now going to be over and shit like that. And, you know, it's all what you make of it. You know what I mean? And Jess and I, the way we want to raise our daughter is the musical lifestyle and whatnot too, you know? So life doesn't really change unless you're in a situation where life isn't what you're supposed to be living. Right.
That's good.
So yeah, I obviously it has changed. You know, we have to get up every night, every 3 hours to feed the newborn and whatnot. But you know what I mean? What I've said to a lot of people is I've spent a lot of time being up all night and for much worse reasons. You know what I mean? Hanging out with different sorts of people and whatnot that aren't as cool as my little baby. So,
right. That's an awesome way of putting it.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? I don't look at it as changing the bad, because that's what I feel like so many people look at it as, is your life is over. You're going to have no more life. And, you know, we take her everywhere we go, and she hangs out at band practice and whatnot. We put her in her little swing and she just hangs out there and sleeps or watches or listens or whatever she does. I don't know what's going on in her head, but
she's like, Dad played that chord wrong.
Yeah. She'll be calling me on shit soon, I'm pretty sure.
There you go. No, but I think, you know, I you know, being a father myself, you know, I would assume that, you know, when you have a creative outlet such as music, and you know, that you're definitely, you can't not be inspired in some ways, you know, with such a change in your life and such an amazing, you know, an amazing thing happening. I'm sure that you know, down the road, that it's gonna provide a lot of inspiration to you as well.
Well, for sure, and I think it already has. Just even me thinking about you know, how I'm gonna introduce the music world as I've known it. You know, coming from initially like a punk rock background and whatnot, up to where I am now playing, you know, mostly old time music and bluegrass and stuff. And, you know, I'm already excited about introducing her to everything that I've listened to over the years. I've recataloged all my music collection, all my vinyl, all my CDs, all my cassettes, everything. So I got it all in alphabetical order now, so I can just go through and pick out and be like, okay, today we're going to listen to this.
Right,
you know? So
right.
It's kind of funny. Yeah.
That's cool. So how did you get into music yourself?
I don't know, man. It just kind of happened. I was about 12 years old or so, and you know, all my friends were playing video games and stuff like that at the time, and I sort of was there, and then I got my first guitar, and I was like, this is what I want to do. Screw everything else. This is what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've been playing ever since?
Yeah, I've been playing ever since. Yeah.
So who are some of your musical influences? And kind of like, you know, why are they, how do they influence you?
That's like probably one of the hardest questions that people ask me. And I've always had a hard time answering it over the years, just because there's been so many influences, over time that I don't even know how to answer that question. All I can say is basically, if I hear something, music wise that is very true sounding, without ego or any sort of pretentiousness about it, then that inspires me. It's, anything that's raw and real and you can feel it.
Right.
That's like the biggest inspiration. I wouldn't say that it's any one specific band or bands or persons over the years. It's just that real rawness to any sort of music, that's the inspiration and the message behind it too.
Right.
That's another big thing to me. I'm being a lyricist myself. Good lyric writing is always inspiring.
So, you know, like you said, with Liquorbox kind of being on hold, you know, how are you, you know, what projects do you have, or how are you outletting, you know, music?
So right now, what I have going on is a project called The Rotted Roots Ramblers. And we've been going pretty strong with it. It started out just as a project, myself and Nick Pickens, who's the bass, the banjo player, for Liquorbox. Him and I just started doing a two-piece thing, and we spent most of the summer, out on the street busking and whatnot, and making some money after the tour fell through. Both of us had quit our jobs, so our day jobs that we had. So we were like, oh, what are we going to do? And let's just play music. Let's get out on the street. Let's busk. Let's book some shows, just as a two-piece. And that's been going on for a while. And now we've actually got an upright bass player playing with us now, and a washboard player playing with us now. So we've got the acoustic, the banjo, upright bass, and washboard. And we've got a bunch of shows lined up right now. So it's looking like this project is actually picking up pretty good, and I'm actually really excited about it. We've had, since the baby's been born, we've had one jam as the full four-piece, and I'm really excited the direction that's heading in.
Yeah, I think I saw your wife like posted a video of you guys in the living room, you know, jamming out, and it sounded good to me.
Yeah, man, and that's funny. We were just goofing around playing a 357 string band song, and my daughter's name is Ada Lee, so we changed the lyric in the song to "Oh Ada Lee," just goofing around, and it came out pretty well. I think we're gonna jam on that some more and probably perform that. But we've got original stuff too, and we've got a regular gig here in Kingston that we've picked up over time as well. So it looks like this project is actually picking up steam. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. And I think when we talked earlier, you said you were kind of had a project that you're possibly going to be doing with JB Beverly.
Yeah, JB and I have been talking on and off about this project for quite some time, and it's kind of slowed down a little bit right now with everything that's been going on, but I'm going to be heading back down to North Carolina to record this album that we're going to do together. And basically what the album is, and you can find the Facebook page and whatnot too, it's called the Cold Distance Stare, the One Mind Reflection, and it's actually a an album of cover songs of Charles Manson's songs.
Oh, wow.
that Charles Manson had recorded.
That's kind of different. How did you guys come up with that?
Well, both of us, both JB and I, have been had a long time interest in Charles Manson and the whole kind of myth that surrounds his incarceration and his involvement in any sort of murders and whatnot. Now, we're not really trying to make a protest album or anything like that. We're just doing it out of our love for his music and whatnot, but also at the same time to sort of bring a little bit of awareness to some really old lies that have been perpetuated in the media surrounding him and his case. I don't want to get too much into it now, but that's kind of where we're going with that project. And we've made some really good contacts along the way. One of the best I can say is the author of the newest book that's come out about Charles Manson, Marlon Marinick, who wrote Charles Manson Now. And I've had some good conversations with him on the phone, and so has JB, and then contact online as well. So it's something that we're looking to do out of respect, you know, and not exploitative in any way, or not trying to, not trying to make any enemies along the way either, you know.
Right. It's just a musical outlet that you know, if you have interest in something, there's an opportunity, because, you know, he did have a music career. A lot of people probably don't know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's completely understandable. It sounds like it would be an interesting project for sure.
Yeah, and both of us feel like a connection to it as well. So it's something that, you know, it's not like we're like, oh, what can we do to shock people, or,
right,
you know what I mean? Both of us have like an actual almost emotional attachment to the whole thing. So it's just another example of the connection that not only JB and I have with each other, but a connection that we have to somebody that we don't even know as well emotionally. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm really interested to see where it goes, and wherever it goes, I'm all for it.
Right on. So, you know, like I said, you got, you know, two or three different projects going on. You got a new baby, and you've also gotten married recently. So how's married life?
Yes.
How's married life treating you?
It's just the same, man. Like, that's the thing. Like I said before, like, you know, people have all these ideas or pretenses that they're going to tell you the worst before they tell you the best. And, you know, it's the way my wife and I are. It's like we function the same way that we did prior to getting married. It hasn't really changed anything. We're still able to be who we are around each other and whatnot. So, you know, it's all about doing things for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons.
Right.
Right.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's obviously it's important to have be in a relationship where the other person is supportive of what you're doing.
That, yeah, and you have to have that, man. And I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't have that, because, you know, without surrounding yourself with people that support you in life, you're going nowhere,
right,
you know, and you're just going to end up another drone. And that's sadness to me, you know, getting married and having, you know, someone in your life that actually cares about you and supports you. That's not sadness, you know. You hear so many people like bitch about their wife or their husband behind their back and shit. And it's like, why the hell are you in that situation then?
Right.
If what you want to do is bitch, you know.
Right.
That's not good. That's not healthy, man. Nobody should be living that sort of life.
Definitely. Well, this is another pressing question for you.
Okay.
All right. How do you feel about Canada finally retiring the penny?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a shitload of them at the house from busking, man. So hopefully I can get rid of them before they're obsolete. And it's funny, too, thinking that my daughter, you know, is going to grow up in a penniless Canada. But at the same time, those things are nothing but dead weight in your pocket.
Right.
As
they
well.
Actually,
so,
you know, I wish the United States would do the same thing, because it ends up costing more to make them than they're worth. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing, and it's nice that someone's actually made a decision to do something, to get rid of something that's costing more than what it's worth.
Right.
But I think the penny's the least of our problems.
Well, we got to start small, right?
And I guess start at the smallest thing, the thing that's worth the smallest amount.
Well, JT, I really appreciate having you on the show finally. I said, you know, I've been a fan of Liquor Box for a few years now, and it was awesome to get you on the show. And it's always awesome to have, you know, kind of give some exposure to some Canadian friends up there, you know, and bands up there, because you guys are playing, you guys are making kick-ass music too, and we're just trying to spread the word.
For sure, man. I appreciate it so much as well. Any support that we can get up here, we appreciate. And I don't only speak for myself, but, you know, for the rest of the Liquorbox crew and the Rotted Roots Ramblers crew as well. We definitely appreciate that, man.
So we'll put up links to, you know, the Ramblers. We'll put up a link to the Cold Distant Stare. But where can folks go to get, you know, Liquorbox music and, you know, find out what you got going on?
Well, the best thing to do is the Facebook page or the Reverb Nation page online. We don't have an official page online, so those two ways are the best, or just me personally over my personal Facebook page. And, you know, I'm pretty adamant about answering every single message I get as quickly as possible. I know it's a huge pet peeve of mine to send out messages and then just sit there and wait for weeks and weeks and weeks for somebody to reply. So I try to get back to people as quickly as possible. So it doesn't matter where you contact us. Like I said, Facebook, Reverb Nation, or my personal Facebook page. You can also get my email on there. Whatever works for whoever's trying to get in touch with me, go ahead, do it. I will get back to you in at least a day. And we still have merchandise. Liquorbox, even though we're not playing so much right now, still there's T-shirts available, there's CDs available, and whatnot. So if you're looking for any sort of that stuff, then get in touch with me, and we'll make an arrangement to get things sent out in the mail.
Awesome. And I got my Liquorbox shirt, and I pimp that son of a bitch when I'm out. So
awesome, man. Awesome.
All right, man.
Which one did you end up getting?
It's the one with the girl on the front of it.
On the hay bales?
No, the other one.
Okay, all right, the black and white one.
Yeah.
All right.
It's good stuff. But thanks again for being on the show, man, and you take care of yourself, and anytime you need anything from IBWIP, just definitely let us know.
All right, man, for sure. Thank you so much.
Last night the day we came a knocking. He ripped my screen door off, that's engine, and he came a walking. Locked his ass on the foot of my bed, and then we got to talking. He said, "Bro, you better listen up close, my words won't be forgotten. Your eyes smile, you're out of luck. You can't be safe for your fool. I get a long way to rest your bones, and I'll be back to flip your soul." Solo drinking, I stuck the bottle halfway dry, and then I got to thinking, who the hell's that fast able thing that he is in? How my soul's out making deal and him my final wish. Said he would. Met him outside my roof, my truck, that's where that devil stood. He said, "Now, boy, just gonna end, we're going for a ride." Then he snatched my keys, and then he sneered, "The devil always tries." Racing down that dirt road, no thank glass light and clear. With the light, that devil hound, you know I'm here. He spiked the smoke, filled the floor with a needle chair. He said, "I'll repeat myself, just in case you're dead in hell. Your eyes smile, you're out of luck. You can't be safe for your fool. I get one long week to rest your bones, and now I'm back to lick your soul." I sat up straight looking in the eye, I said, "This is how it is. If you want my soul, then you grant me this one wish. I give you all respect and I always pay my dues. If you let me have my guitar and keep singing away my blues." Next thing that I knew, off the road we went, crashed into a clover, surely I was dead. When I looked on the stage, guitar in my hand, and I said, "Friends, now you fuck, this is where it ends. Your eyes smile, you're out of luck.
Pay attention, folks. Here is how you contact the show. We love your feedback, so get off your lazy asses and get a hold of us. You can email Blake at IBWIP.com, AmishBJ at IBWIP.com, and ColdBeer at IBWIP.com. That's my mom and dad. We also have a dial-in number that you can use to leave us a voicemail or call in during the live taping. Now program this into your phone. 1-203-429-4711. We look forward to hearing from you, and remember, boob pics are always welcome.
More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics!
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.